I think we should possibly start realizing one thing about KFUO, and that is that we operate under grants from the Federal Communications Commission, and that under such a grant, we are under also certain restrictions. You know, on a commercial station or any other station, it becomes very evident during the time of such political conventions and the like campaigns that a station is not free to give time to decide of its choosing, but must make equal time available to all parties. And this is because a radio station operates on the public airwaves. So also in religion, we do have to be careful that we, even though we are owned and operated by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, do not become so one-sided in our presentation that some other denomination might ask for equal time for rebuttal or something like that. Now, I think that we don't cross-pedal Lutheranism in any way or anything like that, and I think the grace of God has been with us, that we've never gotten in any really tight spots or any spots that we could not get out of. But it is a reason, for instance, that we don't practice being just a sounding board for all our agencies, for their drives, or things like that, that they would like us to be. Different agencies, the school drives and things like that, they may come to us and ask us to support their drives. And then they cannot understand that we may have to say no. They may reply, well, you support the United Fund, you give time to that, and the like. But these are the areas in which we could become very vulnerable and be put in the position of supporting every denomination's drive for funds or something like that.
A good example of that, you'll pardon my interruption, some years ago, I think it was before Pastor was here, and I said something to Pastor Comanchill, who was here at the time, why don't you announce this sausage supper that the Lutheran Orphans Home is going to have? No, we can't do that at KFUO. And I couldn't understand it. Then he explained to me, look, if we do that, then the Catholics are going to come in and want the bingo parties advertised, and their fairs and other things such as that, you see. And so it makes sense that the person has to be real cautious and has to go through his position here to choose wisely what goes on the air.
There are some things that we do for the Lutheran Church that sometimes in staff meeting we ask, can we do this? So the Church of the Day program that I'll describe a little bit later on is one thing, but we have not received any trouble. In fact, I am not conscious of any trouble in the past 5 years, and it happens incidentally from time to time. I have some correspondence in my files now that Dr. Hornstein turned over to me when I came out here, for instance, of one of the pastors of one of the devotions, who for some reason really railed into the Jews. And this was brought to the attention of Rabbi Isserman in town, who in turn asked for equal time for rebuttal. But this was smoothed over, and he did not press the point. He could have if he wanted to, and his last letter says that. Or sometimes we get spot announcements for broadcast from an organization like Jehovah's Witnesses. And then they write back later on and say, yeah, why didn't you carry them? And then it's amazing to see how an organization that feels about government the way they do know exactly where they stand according to their rights before the government, legally.
So in other words, even though we as a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, or at least some organization within our tradition that owns this station, we cannot govern all things that come forth from this station. I wasn't aware of that.
You see, any station operates on what is considered the public air. It's different than a newspaper that is considered a private organization and operating in their own private way. Radio stations are operating on the public airwaves. So that's, now I just want to say that as prologue, because we do have to be conscious of this, and it comes up almost every time we want to do something. Can we do it this way without jeopardizing our license? Because the FCC demands of us that we give a broad scope of
of programming, the same as those of any other station, that we do the proper amount of public service, and that can't all be Lutheran public service.
Just this last year, I believe, when we had our big snows here in St. Louis in the month of March, which we all remember so well, I remember that there was an announcement in the St. Louis Lutheran Apostolate over KFUO stating that the word would be sent over the station as to which schools would be closed, that is, of our Lutheran schools. Now then, could the Roman Catholic schools likewise ask you?
Yes, and we do it.
You do it for the Roman Catholic schools?
You do it for all schools.
Yeah.
This is where we feel there is not a theological problem at all.
Mm-hmm. Public service.
It's a public service, and anybody that calls in, whether it's a Roman Catholic school or public school, will announce them.
Well,
we would be in real trouble if we refused to announce the closures of Roman Catholic schools.
Well, I don't recall having heard any Roman Catholic schools, even public schools, mentioned. Maybe they were, maybe I just listened for a long time.
We often will get calls in regard to our broadcast of Catholic news, Roman Catholic news. Now, at the time of the death of the Pope, for instance, the material that came over the newswire was really voluminous. And much of it was propagandistic. And we tried to ferret out and give all the facts and eliminate the propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we did a pretty good job of it. We didn't get too many repercussions. We did get some repercussions from our own people asking, why do you carry the news at all?
Mm-hmm.
But it is, after all, significant mm-hmm. to the Christian world from one point or another. It would be, I think, mistaken censoring on our part to eliminate it.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time when the station followed the practice of eliminating all references to other churches, whatever. And I think this is blindness. I think we want to know what's going on in other churches. So that, for instance, he never said the word priest, and even said that Silent Night was written by an Austrian minister by the name of Joseph Moore. Well, this is, frankly, I feel stupidity to do a thing like this. A month or so ago, 6 weeks ago, possibly over one weekend, some Catholic priest was stabbed by a hoodlum downtown. And for one reason, on one of our earlier newscasts, he didn't carry it. And we got a call right away. Why wasn't this item on your news? Well, we found it, and the very often questionable items are laid on my desk, and I have to either say yes or no to them. And this fellow, it had not been laid on my desk, so we found it in the newsroom. And actually, it had been carried, but not at the particular time that this person was listening. But it is news. Well, I don't want to get in too much involved in this.
That is
this
good, though. Wasn't there a policy, or is there still a policy, that you refrain from going into crime a great deal?
We try.
Broadcasting?
We try
something like the Christian Science Monitor.
Yes, in presenting the news items on all the crime that goes on in the city, to omit the gory details and just again try to give the facts of what happened. Very often, the news items that are written up on the wire come in a great deal of detail, written in a sensational manner, and. I know that a lot of people like to hear all the sensational facts. We try to pare it down to just exactly what happened and omit all the particular gory details. And also we try to eliminate anything that would show a sign of prejudice. The news item might be written, Chester White, Negro. I think such and such. And we eliminate Negro. I mean, this is a person. Because I think the in-person of Negro tends to create a prejudice. So it might, at least.
In these next weeks, you might mention to your newscasters to be cautious, and we'll be talking about this tomorrow, how even with voice you can indicate how you are talking about a subject, you indicate your feelings on the matter. I recall in 1952. When I was working out here in the summertime broadcasting, announcing for KFUO, it was during the political convention. And I had some item about Stevenson at the time, and at the time I was for Stevenson, and I suppose that came through in my voice. And when I got through, I had a telephone call from a person who just berated me for letting showing my feelings on the air about the news items.
Yes, that will happen. Of course, a lot of things are misunderstood. Now, nevertheless, we do try to give service to our particular churches. I'm real glad that Pastor North is here, because Children faithfully has broadcast their Sunday church services over this station for almost throughout the history of the station. And we had tried to broaden that in the last couple of years, and so we've instead of broadcasting two services from Pilgrim, as we've done for many, many, many years, we now broadcast just the late service from Pilgrim and a Bible study and a roundtable from Pilgrim. But with the early service, we go around to various churches on a quarterly basis. This has been going on for a year and a half now, so yesterday was the last Sunday of Bethel Church. That was the sixth church. We'll start the seventh next Sunday. We have this year lined up and three churches for next year lined up. And those then broadcast on a quarterly basis. And we have somewhat of a program of Share the Air, in which we try to let the various churches, if they have the, if they desire so, to have the opportunity to broadcast their early Sunday service. So regularly, we broadcast the Sunday services, two Sunday services, on Sunday morning. And then where time permits, we will broadcast evening services. But, you know, according to our schedule, we sign off at sunset. And so in the wintertime, our sign-off can be as early as 5:30 in December, which precludes the broadcast of evening services then. But during the summertime, or even at Ascension time and things like that, we are able to carry anything.
I wanted to ask, our congregation, I noticed that the last voters meeting approved going into broadcasting the service over KSUO for one quarter next year. For the information of these men, what would you say would be the cost for the congregation now, even though the KSUO is church-owned, for broadcasting the service?
For these things, we ask the congregation to pay for the telephone lines that are necessary for the broadcast, the telephone lines from the church to the station there. That is on a monthly rental basis, and it varies greatly according to the distance of the congregation to the station. I think actually we're still working on replies that we have received from the first request that we put out for station for churches to broadcast. When we get through that first list, and when we must go back again and say we must get a new list, I would like to see us do something to equalize the cost a little bit. By that I mean Bethel broadcast for 3 months, and I think the total cost to them was only $80-some for lines for the 3 months, because they're right over here so close. For Ebenezer, at the broadcast beginning next Sunday, the cost to them is some $280 for the 3 months.
$60. $60.
Now, is there any other cost, for instance, installation of microphones and so on?
We have to charge for an engineer to go out to the station. We give the churches a chance to have their own engineer, but it's still probably necessary for our engineer to go out two, three Sundays to get him operating correctly for the broadcast. And there we must charge on the basis of, I think we have set a standard of $12 a Sunday for an engineer to go out. Because it's not just the time he's out there, he's got to put the equipment together and go to the church and set it up, and then be there during the service, then take the equipment down and bring it back here. And you have to pay engineers at their overtime rate, actually, to do that. And so we have a rate of $12 a Sunday whenever we must send out an engineer.
Would you say that if Pastor Dave Neal would answer a pastor in Cleveland about the possibility of broadcasting for a month over a radio station, that $100 would take care of the cost were the time free?
If the time were free, judging on the basis of St. Louis,
mm-hmm.
yes, I would say yes. And judging on the basis of...
Probably, you probably wouldn't have to pay the engineer if they use it as a public service program.
Mm-hmm.
They only charge you a handed telephone. That's all he says.
So that's what you say in this, and I'll come to ask you next now.
They send the engineer out to this.
Virginia. And what's
how
your cost factor to this?
Well, of course, we're right close to the station here, but our cost was $10 to bring the line in.
Oh.
And we brought that 5 weeks last year, 5 Sundays.
Yes, I should say that in addition to the regular rental, there is a cost of installing the line and then of equalizing the line. You need a line of broadcast cost, you see, not just a plain telephone line. We were hoping to get some purchase from the east side, but the telephone company can't provide us with equalized lines. In fact, they can only provide us with lines that are about Class D lines, and you're not sure, you might pick up a telephone conversation on something like that. And so you need an equalized line that will faithfully reproduce.
This is a question. Is there any particular reason why you're having a portable broadcast or rather than a portable broadcast? Maybe more churches have the opportunity to broadcast and so forth. Is there any particular reason for that?
We have given some thought not to cutting down to monthly, but to cutting down to 2 months. As long as the pressure isn't too great for too many churches to broadcast so that we don't have to put them off too long, I would rather carry them at least for a full quarter. It gives them a better chance to develop. And also the cost of installing, I mean, this is $25, the installation between and probably $35, because we usually try to put in a supervisory line too. We found that that is good, not only to give the engineers a chance to talk back and forth to each other. Once in a while, for some reason in St. Louis, your line might be dead on a Sunday morning, and the telephone company can't get it repaired in time. And we have, from Pilgrim on occasion, and also from other churches, broadcast over the supervisory line, which is not an equalized line. But at least it's an emergency line that you can broadcast over.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot behind the scenes, isn't there?
Okay.
Yes, it's not easy to mic up a church for broadcast. Now, of course, the Pilgrim, this is the easier way. I mean, that church has been mic'd up, and they're well equipped with microphones for congregation. I think you have a microphone hanging right over the middle of the congregation to put that congregational
That will be one of the things that we talk about this afternoon. We talk go into just this phase of broadcasting the church service. That was the fact to wear a lavalier mic, for instance. As we talk about the sample. How many mics, where should the mics be placed, and so on. So, this afternoon you can sit in with us on that, and we appreciate that too.
Now, in addition to the Sunday broadcast, if I may go on, we have, within the past, well, it's been in effect about a year now, developed the Church of the Day idea. And this, you see, I'm saying right now, in distinction to what I said before about FCC regulations, we've tried to be fair and not to push euphemism, yet we do want to give service to the churches. And so the Church of the Day idea is this, that we feature that day a certain congregation within the area, and within the area, we go out quite a ways. In fact, we've had some on from Missouri. There are so many churches that actually about twice a year is all that one congregation could be expected to be featured as Church of the Day. We send them material, and this often works in smaller communities better than it does in a metropolitan community. Although in the metropolitan community, you do have your local, your neighborhood newspapers and the like where this stuff can be featured. But we send them literature telling them what we want of them and then also how they can make best use of it. In other words, we send them information on making use of it for in their evangelism work in their own congregation, that they can get their evangelism committee busy making telephone calls on their prospect list and so forth, saying our church will be featured at the Church of the Day. And our pastor will appear twice on the programming of KSUO that day. And then also we give them guides on newspaper articles that they can put in their local newspapers and the like. Then the pastor does appear twice. On the morning meditation, which is one of our popular devotional programs, at 7:15 in the morning, and our noon half-hour devotion, which is aired under the title Christ for the Day. In addition, then, we play Portals of Prayer for the second time during the day at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And we make mention, then, of this, the congregation that is our Church of the Day. And we do it again at sign-off. And on the noon program, we try to be specific about the congregation, telling exactly where it's located. In other words, it's not just in Cape Girardeau, but it's on such and such a corner.
Out of Hanover, it was.
Yes.
Right.
And then what time they have services. And if it's during lunch, we'll tell you when they're letting services off. Right. If it's during the summer, we'll probably tell when they're having vacation Bible school and for what ages and things like that. If it's at the time of their anniversary, and we try, actually, as much as possible to schedule services according to their anniversary. This congregation is completing 93 years of ministry or something like that on this Sunday. Mm-hmm. And very often, some of them are celebrating a jubilee and are having special services, and we will advertise those.
Our policy in advertising things concerning our churches is very important to advertise things that are of a spiritual nature.
Congregations' anniversaries or pastors' anniversaries, installations, any the spiritual program that they might have, whether it's an educational program, through the Bible classes or adult instruction, or whatever that might be, we do not accept announcements of faulty suckers and things mm-hmm. like that. So that's the kind of service that we try to provide.
One of the things I would ask, Pastor, is that you would provide each of the men with the instructions that you give for the Church of the Day.
I'd be glad to. We have some printed folders that we send out
mm-hmm.
on that, and we're glad to.
How has that been received by the churches as well as regular listeners?
It has been received very, very well. In fact, a number of people, pastors, have said that because of this, they are now including KFU in their budget or something to that effect. It has been well received, and we get very favorable comments on it from the listening audience. Now, we try also to be of service to the agencies of our church, which we have not developed too far yet. But this is an area in which we are trying to be of service, and at the same time, not just be an advertising medium for the service. Let me give you an example. We have, we were real fortunate in having Mrs. Frederick Danker ask for a program for the Lutheran Parents Council for Retarded Children. But she wanted to present a broader program than that, a Christian service to the handicapped, because she would give information, anybody would call her, where to go for any kind of special service. And she knew all the agencies in town, I mean the civic agencies as well as the church agencies, to direct people. And so for a period of a year, the last program is on tomorrow afternoon because she has resigned from the organization. And we were expecting that they would ask for a continuance of the program because a lot of response has come to that particular program. And nobody else has at this time, so I'm not sure what's going to happen next month. But she has brought in people, and she herself is very capable when it comes to radio, and interviewed these people. They may be people from civic agencies, from other church agencies. We've had men gone from Bethesda Home in Watertown, Wisconsin, to try to show the church's interest in those that need special service. She feels very strongly about retarded children because she says we have special programs, mission programs for deaf and blind children and retarded children are
much greater numbers
than deaf and blind. All right, this is her interest in the thing. Now, she has very capably presented her program, and because she'd always interviewed somebody else, one month I interviewed her to give her a chance to tell her own story. And we got this kind of response from that one program, which she was really elated about. She said in the first place, she got a call from a seminary faculty member telling how well she felt that she had expressed herself on the program. Got a call from a pastor in Illinois, wanted to know if she would come and present the program to their circuit. And then she says, I got three calls from people who said, we're not Lutherans, but we have retarded children. Can you give us guidance? Then she got calls from a person in an apartment over here on Spinker who said that she didn't have any retarded children, but she would like to help. And before the telephone conversation was over, she had offered $150 worth of equipment, cribs and dolls and things like that, for the use of the school. Then she got another call from Mr. Pope, who had cafeterias around town, who had heard the program, was very interested, and wanted to know how he could go about employing retarded children who might be able to work in his cafeteria. And he was sending out directives to managers of his cafeterias in other areas, asking them to explore the possibilities of hiring retarded people for use in the cafeteria. Now, this, I think, is quite an excellent response. It's just not that you've received a lot of fan mail, but you've received a response that is meaningful. And so, now, the Altenheim has come, asking what they can do. And I am trying to direct them according to this type of program. And this is what they are interested in, too. They can get information on what the Altenheim is doing. Mrs. Banker always did that at the end of the program. She would say, be sure you get your children enrolled now if you want them in school this coming September. Or we're having such and such a special session from... but that wasn't the whole thing, that they were just trying to plug those things. I mean, she was really giving a service.
And this is what we think that the Altenheim
that they will make people conscious of how to handle the problem of segregation. This is a way which we hope to develop more for handling the agencies of our church.
Now, there are other agencies, for instance, the mission board, who
Dr. Koppelman comes out once a week. They have a 15-minute program. And it isn't just that he tells the story of missions, but he tries to make it from the field. He'll read letters from missionaries, a good way of actually presenting on the spot ideas about the mission program. Now, in a station like this, naturally, we have an abundance of devotional programs. Morning meditation, the noon program, a half-hour program.
Three afternoons in midweek,
Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we have Bread of Life, which is another half-hour devotional program. Those are our main programs in which we ask the pastor to come out and actually deliver a sermon over the station. The morning meditation is short, but the noon and afternoon programs are pretty much full-length sermons.
Up until a few years ago, this meant live broadcasting, and the pastor had to be here at the moment. Today, with the advance in the electronic age, very few of them are live. Most of it is tape-recorded, isn't that right?
That is true, and it serves well in a number of ways. For instance, on the Church of the Day program, where we are asking one pastor to take both the 7:15 in the morning and the noon program, he doesn't have to come out twice. And if he is from Cape Girardeau, he doesn't have to be here at 7:15 in the morning to do it. He'll come in at a convenient time. And sometimes men will come in 3-4 weeks ahead of time because they happen to be in St. Louis, and they can make the tape at that particular time.
Programs
have, to a great extent, eliminated programs which go under a title that make them specifically shut-in programs. Not that we are seeking in any way to eliminate our service to the shut-in, but when we graduate a title, under a name of Wings of Healing or Devotion for Shut-ins, we have that particular one. The incentive you have for anybody else to listen. I mean, this is not a very popular program with the general audience.
And we feel that under the title Bread of Life, we can still bring all the comfort of the gospel to those who need comfort without causing the other people to say, this is not for me. The one particular program that is probably geared to shut-ins more than anybody else, and than any other program, is the one that we have from the City Missions Organization, or the Lutheran Mission Association of Greater St. Louis, that we carry on Saturday noon. That is more specifically than any other geared for your shut-in audience. But we have not received any repercussions from the shut-ins because of the fact that we have eliminated certain titles. They seem to be receive the comfort that they need from a particular sermon that we do have. Now, in addition to the devotional program, of course, we have a number of educational programs. Into that, I put the mission program that I talked about before, Into All the World, and the service to the handicapped and such things as I mentioned there. Actually, on Tuesdays and Thursday afternoons, from 2:30 to 3:30, we have an hour program. And this isn't developed as fully as I would like to have it, just by any means. But here we can present devotional features, information features, educational features, and inspirational features in this hour under the title For Your Information. At 2:30 every afternoon, we have this program For Your Information. Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, from 2:30 to 3, we carry cultural programs, educational programs that might be termed secular, although I hate that breakdown between something being secular and something being sacred. I think for the Christian person, everything he does is not divided. He does it because he is a man of God. He's interested in art or anything else. But just for the sake of understanding, maybe we can make this distinction. We carry programs from the Art Museum, from the library, from our own CPH. They have a book review program, and we make those tapes available to pastors that want to use them afterwards, and this has been a very popular thing. But they have reviewed their own publications, they've gotten the authors in, they've gotten the panels to talk about particular books and the like. But these things then can appear on those programs Tuesdays and Thursdays for a full hour, because then I take also the 3 to 3:30 for that purpose. That is a devotional program on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We can get these features from the agency, a script from the American Bible Society. And by the way, John, I do have two of them on hand.
Fine.
And probably today or tomorrow, the third one should come in. These are for the next two Tuesdays. One is for tomorrow afternoon, K-17.
Well, what we'll do is get those in the morning. Tomorrow morning, our program calls for us to be concerned about microphone technique. And here is a script that is vital. He needs that by 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, 2:50 tomorrow afternoon. And so we can practice on that, listen to ourselves, and we think we have something that is of broadcast quality. Here, Pastor, is your program. You can have it. Or if you want to do it live in the afternoon, my pastor said that would be all right, too.
By the way, John, did we go to 10 minutes or 12?
Till 12.
Till 12, fine. We have also had, very often on this hour program in the afternoon, I'll have a series that will last for a certain length of time. Not all. Now, your mission program, that's an ongoing thing. But others may run by series, maybe for a quarter, or maybe only for a month. I am, at the present time, running a feature that Mr. Fitzgerald gave me, which I ran at a different time previously, but it's a very worthwhile feature, a series of four tapes under the title Best Foot Forward. And this was produced by his radio student training class, actually a class in mass communications, I think it's more proper title, but they apply Christianity to the little things in life, to the manner of dress, to manner of etiquette, and things like this. And it has certain deficiencies, possibly, due to the fact that it's made by students, but that also has some very good features. And I think a station like this should not be concerned just with broadcasting the devotions, but should make an its effort to show that Christianity is applicable to everything the person does, his whole mode of behavior, his whole whole life. And that's what I like about a series like Best Foot Forward.
I will interrupt you here to tell you that the University of San Francisco is using that now.
They are. Well, very fine.
Pete Peterson, one of my students, who is in charge of housing this summer, I think, or at least works with Professor Vincent, was in the class, and he had this idea. And then somewhere along the line, I read that University of San Francisco has a program for students. It's a non-credit course called Good Manners or something. And so we started the correspondence, and they asked them for the tape, which we sent them, and they're using it.
Perhaps I could say that these types of panel discussions and the like, or interviews, or just a educational program, can apply the gospel to current living.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the theme that we are attempting to broaden. In fact, we sat down on staff some time ago to try to say just what are we trying to do with our educational broadcast. All these repairs that are not specifically related to the church, the art museum program, the public library programs, and things like that. And so we developed somewhat of a philosophy of educational programming. I don't think it's anything unique. I think it's something that goes back to Luther's thinking on it. But we have a theme in mind, and that theme in mind is the man of God and the family of man, to talk about his current living, his vocation, his relationship to his family, to his job, to his community, to his church. And this is just something for us to have in the back of our minds, no matter what type of programming we are actually doing. At the present time, we are trying to develop a working relationship with Valparaiso University. And they are cooperating. They're having certain difficulties with getting the tapes, and we don't have the money to send up somebody up to do the taping. But we have received the first batch of tapes from them on their alumni seminar, which we want to program now. But they had a series of four discussions or so on things like fallout, on I can't think of the topics they had at their alumni seminar, but very worthwhile. In addition, we've done things like home-type Bible studies, rather than the actual class situation which professionals lead this. How can people, lay people by themselves, get together and study the scripture? And we tried to develop that particular thing. Now, this takes us pretty far afield from the usual type of church devotional broadcast. And here is, to me, this leads me to a very important point. And that is, when you're broadcasting religion, the popularity of a program may not necessarily determine the worth of the program. For this reason, that there are an awful lot of people who just like religious broadcasting. I know that from telephone calls I get, I know it from letters. But these are people who speak out the sermons all day long. And it makes no difference who broadcasts them. They listen to every preacher on the radio. They like religion. And that's fine. And for this reason, we wouldn't cut down on the devotional programs that we have. We want to supply that audience. But I feel this way. I feel that that is a captive audience. And that if you want to reach those who are not captive, there are certain other things that have to be done. You've got to make a different approach. The popularity of the program may be judged by that captive audience. But to achieve something that you're trying to achieve, you may have to sacrifice the popularity and do some other things. Well, your educational broadcast of things Christian may be a step in that direction. Another step in that direction may be some of the short features that we use in between other programming. We may put a short devotion, and by a short devotion, I mean 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, between other programming that you could almost term secular programming, music programming, and the like. And there, I think the type of program should be aimed, or the type of the program should be developed according to that fact, that you are trying to reach people who may be listening because you've got music. And this works. I mean, we've got mail on that. People who become interested in the religious programs because they listen to the music programs and because this little thing was in between.
An example of that, back to you again, excuse me for interrupting. At 7:30 in the morning, there is a program called, what's it called?
Up to the Minute.
Up to the Minute. And that's this type of program for the people who are driving their little cars into work and who are working about the house. Music, a little bit of news, music, little feature, weather, and so on. But they put in 2 minutes at about 7:45. And this morning, I was tuned in and driving out to a seminary about 7:45. And the fellow started out, and I thought, is that it today? This is a religious feature. He started talking about how people move about. The fellow mentioned that he had moved 7 times in the last 10 years. One place to another, the adjustments that are made, and so on. Then the punchline for Christianity came in there, the importance of adjusting your Christian life, too, in the community where you're living. Very effective.
I brought this tape down. Actually, this has the one that was played this morning, but I'd like to play the one that was played Friday morning, if we could. Because this type of thing, to reach the audience that might be the people in the car, requires a special sort of an approach. And I haven't found too many ministers that do it too well. Now, this is focused on faith in Normandy. And there are certain deficiencies in his radio presentation. He's somewhat faulting. I mean, it isn't exactly good radio for that reason. But nevertheless, his approach, I think, is good. And I think you put your point across before they realize it. When you introduce a devotional program with organ music and the like, you invite an awful lot of dialogue systems. And so this particular kind of thing is good. And he approaches it on a moral basis, but doesn't neglect the Christian motivation. And this is not easy to do. I've had a lot of good pastors falter on this thing. In 3 minutes, they tend, many of them tend simply to moralize, rather than actually getting it to be a Christian-motivated thing. Or else, it's completely Christian, but it lacks that appeal that might be necessary. I'd like to get where the flag is there in that thing, right. John. While he's finding that spot, of course, Portals of Prayer serves that purpose too. But Portals of Prayer, I have a feeling, appeals to the captive audience, but it's only 2 minutes long, so we possibly don't lose the others. But it is very distinctly Christian. And if you're acquainted with Portals of Prayer, or if you have the opportunity to listen to it, maybe we could find out if this is just exactly what we might want to do, is the voice that presents this to Morgan, to church founding. Is the whole approach very, perhaps, sentimental to do what you actually want to do outside the captive audience? The captive audience will love it. All right. Now, can you get this picture? On Up to the Minute, you've got a program, a variety program, of music, news, weather reports, baseball scores, and the like, designed for the man who's driving to work, primarily. And then, in with those kind of features, the announcer will say, and now, Pastor Sophie has some thoughts about Christian living today. And you get a feature like this.
I'm not sure if this is the exact spot.
It might be, there's about 30 seconds dead tape.
And number three.
Yeah, see, that's the cue of the engineer. Yeah.
Joel was basically an honest man and a hard worker. A very hard worker, I might add. His friends at the shop often kidded him for being a glutton for hard work and punishment. The reason Joe stole equipment from the shop occasionally was because the company was too big to miss what he took. And besides, he was honestly convinced that what he stole would be used for good purposes only. And because Joe was a man of his word, he always thought to it that the things that he stole were used for good purposes exclusively. Another thing, Joe was very careful to remove only little things. things that were only of slight importance, and he did this only once in a while, not too regularly. Well, Joe was a good worker anyhow, and rarely if ever lost a day for the company. And secretly, to his own way of thinking, Joe felt that he had this coming to him. So although Joe felt himself to be basically an honest man and a hard worker, he stole things occasionally from his work. Like a dull knife, our conscience can lose its sharp edge and much of its potency in the desperate struggle to keep alive and to be successful in a competitive society. When you have a family to support and mouths to feed and extra little advantages that you want to give your family, the commandment from God, thou shalt not steal, sounds mighty harsh and narrow. It needs trimming down around the edges someplace. It should be modified just a little bit here and a little bit there. For example, thou shalt not steal big things, or thou shalt not steal frequently, or we like to say, thou shalt not steal except when it's unimportant, or thou shalt steal from the rich but not from the poor. There's no getting around it, my friends. We are not to steal, period. Whether it's big, whether it's little, whether it's costly, or whether it's very inexpensive and cheap. If it's your neighbor's, then it's not yours. It belongs to him and not to you. Another thing, your need or your use for the article that you want to steal has nothing to do with your right to own it. The Lord tells you and me, do not steal. Actually, the fullest implications of this commandment of the Lord go much further than what we are not to do. In order to keep the command, do not steal, properly, we must love our neighbor. In other words, we are to help him to improve and to protect his property and business. To do this, we are going to have to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, look at our blessed Lord and Savior, who out of love for us, gave us his life, that we might, in turn, love other people. Lord, help us to love our neighbor and to help him to improve and protect his property and business.
Mm-hmm. No, that's all of that one. These we usually tape from a series maybe four at a time, so there's number three, this is number three on this tape. Now, be very happy to have any critical comments that you might have about that. But my point is this, that you can say this thing without announcing a text and so forth, and you're doing the same kind of thing that you're doing in announcing other things on that particular program.
One of the things that strikes me, Pastor, is that you do not have to identify your program with your church. In other words, we don't even know who Pastor Schofer is. I don't think that the announcer comes back to him and says he's Pastor Schofer, does he?
Sometimes he does, but not always.
Okay. Say if there's a man who has a flair for this, say, in Cleveland, who likes to write these little vignettes in 2 minutes or so, and could get a series of 30 of them fixed up on a tape, on several tapes, and take them to the radio station, the man who has the disc jockey program early in the morning, and say, I think that you would like to use this. It will add flavor, it will add something important to your program. There is an in for your church later on. Your church may not be mentioned during these 2 minutes, but if you have some good quality right here, the program director is going to say, look, we've got a half hour open on Sundays now. We'd like to have you provide us a program. And there you are. Very good. Well, Pastor, we're going to be talking to you off and on during the course of the week. At 1:30, are you busy at that time?
This afternoon? I think it's
busy. All right. I think that what we would do is to come upstairs and look at your programs for the day or for the week, I think,
mm-hmm.
so that we can get a pretty good idea. He uses color
on
that chart to show what KFUO is doing. For instance, he didn't mention that the seminary devotions are broadcast every morning. During the school year, the high school devotions are broadcast each morning. By the way, you can listen to chapel at 8 o'clock by going to chapel. And then at 8:30, tuning in to KFUO, and you can hear the same sermon again on KFUO. KFUO tape records it because during the school year, chapel is at 8:30. During the summer, it's at 8 o'clock. And so they just tape record it, and then at 8:30, it comes on.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I had just a few things that I would like to say. Now, these types of things we use not only the Freeman's Book Bible, but the Portals of Prayer. We have the same thing, or a similar type of thing, just read by the announcer between our evening concert hour and the light music program that follows in the evening. And then also we make use of the LLL 5 minutes, it's under the title Day by Day with Jesus. We use that thing in the evening. We have also had some series ourselves, 5 minutes with the Bible, which were these things with a hymn added to it. I did mention the fact that we do certain music programming also, particularly sacred music. Under the title Themes of the Ages in the Morning, Music of Devotion in the Evening, if our day is long enough. Of course, we have to schedule hymns also. We do, and this, of course, is one of those things that can bring about all kinds of debate. We do try to be selective of good at the whole year, but at those points, whenever I do, I would use a transcription of one of these commentaries. And there's quite a few that go on in this area. Should we mention our new commentaries? This, again, is something we're trying to develop. We have at the present time Professor Steele from the seminary here giving a commentary on the news once a week. Not on the particular news items, but rather on the situation. And he's on Friday afternoon for this type of news commentary. Mm-hmm. Whenever there's a presidential news conference, we have a long-distance call from Pastor Brosey from Washington that afternoon giving about a 3-minute report on this news conference that we carry on our 5 o'clock news that night, and then on the 8 o'clock news the next morning. In the time when critical situations develop on the world scene or in the national scene, we might do a special on that. We've done that several times. It might be a 45-minute special. We've done it on the Mideast crisis or the satellite situation or the Little Rock crisis a couple years ago, and we possibly can use a man who knows the scientific field, and we'll possibly use somebody like Pete Korn or Charleman here who might be able to give a Christian commentary on that thing and develop a lengthy program trying to get a picture of this thing. Then, real quickly, I also mention children's programs. These are hard to do. The material is hard to find, and it's hard to get the people who have the time to develop. We have a children's album every afternoon, and a couple days a week this is devoted to Bible stories or mission stories or the like. We have a Bible history quiz on Saturday mornings, and on Sunday mornings, Sunday School of the Air. The Sunday School of the Air differs from the Bible history quiz, and there we have an accent on worship. The children actually participate in a worship situation on that program. Then one thing I always would say to pastors when they are on the air. Now, this doesn't apply this does not apply to broadcast of church services, because there the audience knows you're carrying something that is a church service that is geared for another medium, first of all. But when you're on radio, I think your primary thing to remember is that you are talking to people in their homes. You can talk about the vast audience of radio, and that's true, but you're talking to them person to person. You're talking in their living room. And that's in the general way. The general rule is to talk as though you were in their living room and not shout at them as though you were in the pulpit. There are exceptions to this, but I think the rule would be that you are talking person to person to them. And so you apply law and gospel as though you were facing them. Because that is the intimate nature of radio that pastors shouldn't forget. And actually, faith managers and the like are looking for the man that has that intimate appeal. A station manager wants he wants to do religious programming. For one thing, it's required of him, and many of them actually want to. Their problem is to find the men who will do it so that he doesn't lose his listening audience. He doesn't want his people, the people to tune out his radio station during the time of the religious broadcast. Okay, I'll stop with that, Donald.
That's all right. Just on that, I can never forget the interview someone had. I don't remember who was the interviewer, but I remember who was interviewed, Arthur Godfrey. And the question was asked of Arthur Godfrey, what was it in your long radio career that made you go from the local station there in Washington, D.C., to a national name, a national star as far as radio is concerned. And he said, if there's anything that I can put my finger on, it was the recognition one night as I was a disc jockey that I wasn't talking to thousands of people, but that I was talking to a single person. And I began talking to those individuals and recognizing people as individuals in my audience. And you can listen to him today, and he has that in his voice, where the person ironing, the person driving the car, the person lying asleep in bed is feels he's talking to me. That's a real technique to work on. Okay, at one time over to seminary, I don't know how they work it with you in summer school. Do they give you meal tickets for the week?
We bought
your meal tickets, all right?